From WBUR Boston, I'm Anthony Brooks, in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Latinologues.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos a Latinologues.
A comedic journey into the Latino psyche.
Una chiludez bien cómica.
It's the story about Latinos. It's Latino logs. Hey, if you're easily offended, don't watch this play. Hey,
there's a newcomer on Broadway, a big production without syrupy songs or a big dance routine. It's called Latino Logs. It's an edgy, sometimes raunchy, often very funny play of monologues about Latinos in America. The characters include a hip swirling bartender, a Latino Texas border guard who calls himself a lean, mean deporting machine, a dishwasher who hopes to get deported so he can save on airfare to Mexico, and a young woman who insists she's a virgin impregnated by an angel. Cheech Marin of the famous drug-addled duo Cheech and Chong is the show's director. Latino Logs, which opened in October at the Helenaise Theater, was just extended for another 4 weeks through December 31st. This hour, On Point, Broadway goes Latino. You can join the conversation with Eva Longoria, starring in Desperate Housewives, George Lopez in his own television show, and Jimmy Smits running for president on the West Wing. Is this another example of how Latinos are now part of the American mainstream culture? How is the image of Latinos changing in America? Join the conversation. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And joining me now from New York is Rick Najera, writer and producer of Latino Logs. He's one of four actors in the current production on Broadway. In addition to Latino Logs, Najera has written three other plays, Latin's Anonymous, A Quiet Love, and The Pain of the Macho. His writing credits also include the television program Mad TV and In Living Color. And Rick Najera, welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
It's great. It's great having you. Also with Rick from New York, Shirley Rumerick. Her role in Latino Logs marks her Broadway debut. She's also host of the New York infotainment show Cool in Your Code. Shirley, thanks to you.
Thank you, Anthony.
Really appreciate you both coming in. Now, first question for Rick. I'm very interested if you can tell me about the genesis of the show. I know it's been on the road for a few years and has played before audiences from San Diego to Miami. This is its Broadway debut. Tell me how this show got started.
Well, we're kind of like a slow creeping vine. We've been moving across the country slowly but surely. What's happened was it started off really as a showcase for Latinos about almost 8 years ago, 9 years ago. And it's since then employed over 100 Latinos in the show and different forms and doing different monologues throughout the country. And finally, its genesis, it just had to go to New York. And we did New York February 19th at Town Hall. It was widely successful, and I produced that. And then now we came back to Broadway with, you know, more producers. We have Juan Carlos Zapata and Robin Tate and Renee Lavon and Eugenio Derbez. And everyone kind of put together the money and time, and we produced the show. And it's really, it's been wonderful. It's a wonderful experience.
But, Rick, take us back even farther. Give me an idea of what this show is about and how you conceived of it several years ago.
Well, it really started off as shows about monologues about the Latino experience, therefore the name Latino Logs. Mm. And it wanted to showcase Latinos in the United States and what the experience were, from the Mexicans to the Caribbeans to the Cubans to basically everyone, and sometimes Latinos outside the country. We have a monologue called Cuba Libre about a Cuban prostitute in Cuba looking toward the United States. So it was all about this dream of the American way. We had a guy at one point, Mexican Moses, leading Latinos on an exodus out of the United States until they all kind of realized this was our homeland. This was our promised land. This was a land flowing with milk and Kahlua. So it was social satire and politics and all wrapped together in comedy. And because of it, it's controversial because sometimes people say, well, it's not really theater. You know, there's not really beginning, middle, and end, and not everyone is linked per se, but in many ways they really are. And if you look deeper into the thing, the stereotypes, which I use here, archetypes, if you will, you turn them over and you find complex human beings.
And I want to get to that.
About.
Yeah, and I want to get to that and talk about some of those stereotypes, some of the complexity in it. But let me bring Shirley first into the conversation. Shirley, tell me how you connected with Latino Logs.
Well, it's one of those beauteous things that's happened in the blink of an eye in one day. I as a struggling actor in New York City.
And she was really struggling.
And I was struggling. without any representation, I was called in by a casting director to come in and audition for Latino Logs. And I realized very quickly that this is one of those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities, being that, one, it was my first Broadway audition. Hmm. Two, it's they were specifically looking for a comedic Latina, and I saw the monologues that I had to prepare, and I said, this is it. This is the moment. I need to really give it all I got. And I went in there at 10:30 a.m. for the audition on a Friday and was cast that 5 o'clock that day.
Wow, what a break.
We captured that moment. Yeah, she was
absolutely,
really surprised.
Definitely, very surprised.
We were going to do the whole don't cast her till afterwards, talk to some people and stuff. And I thought, oh, we've never really cast anyone like right away, and I want to see the reaction. She was so happy.
I jumped up, I did a salsa, and I sat back down.
Fantastic.
Tears in her eyes.
Now, listen, Shirley, we want to play a little bit of tape that presents one of the characters that you did. This is about Yolanda. And this is where you play Yolanda, a young woman from the Bronx, celebrating her pregnancy. Do you want to just say a word or two about this character, and then we'll listen to it?
Actually, we can talk a little bit more about it after.
Okay, let's just play it. This is Shirley playing Yolanda, a young woman from the Bronx.
Listening is important. And y'all better listen up, because I got a big, big announcement. I'm a virgin and this baby's a miracle.
Okay, now I just want to add a visual here, this being radio.
Oh, yeah,
I've seen, first of all, I want to say I haven't seen the whole show, and I'm sorry about that, but I have seen a bunch of it on the DVD that you folks set up. And you look sort of sensational in this scene. You're in very tight jeans and a very tight sort of sweater and very attractive with a belly that sort of comes way out, clearly very pregnant. We're talking third trimester here. So the whole sort of claim about being a virgin is obviously absurd. Tell me about this character.
Well, and also just to add into the visual, when it starts off, all you see is my back and I'm dancing to reggaeton music.
Oh, right. Okay.
And so it seems like it's going to be some type of, one audience member thought that it was going to be some type of a funny striptease type dance.
Hoochie Mama.
But then a Hoochie Mama thing. And then I turn around and you see my profile, which is that I'm very pregnant in it, which gets quite a laugh.
Yeah.
But it sounds kind of crazy. It sounds kind of ridiculous, the whole thing, that obviously I'm very pregnant, but that I'm a virgin and that I've an angel sent by God by the name of Alejandro, the busboy, impregnates me in that monologue. But it's interesting because if you think about it, I wonder what did the Virgin Mary go through when she sort of turned to Joseph and said, hey, I got something to tell you. I'm pregnant and it's not yours.
Yeah, he might not have been all peace, love, and understanding about that.
Exactly. But the beauteous thing about this monologue is in her divine sort of innocence and hoping for better things, she's left. The whole thing is that Alejandro just disappeared and she's left pregnant. So because he disappeared so quickly and she can't find him, she just, in her struggle to survive, I feel, she figures that he must have been an angel. He must have been sent by God. It's this beauteous thing about how she is not a victim. Mm-hmm. She's going to survive and surpass this situation. She says, I'm not down. I'm moving like my baby. I'm celebrating my life.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, don't look at me like I'm a single mother. Look at me like I'm a miracle. And this is the beauty about this example of a monologue, and that is that even though it seems like it's a stereotype, teenage pregnant Latina from the Bronx, oh yeah, ha ha ha, but that's the beauty about the show. We take the stereotypes, we appropriate those stereotypes, strip them, and put a message in them. And that message in this particular character is she's a survivor, she's a fighter, she's not a victim, she's going to see her way through this, and she's not letting her get her down.
I love the line where you say, I tried to call the newspaper, but they say, oh yeah, a lot of women are pregnant and say that they're men.
Yeah, lots of virgins in the Bronx get pregnant by men who disappear.
That's it.
yeah. It's and you know it's out there. It's also critiquing the irresponsibility of certain men out there to not rise to the occasion, if you will.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about this character. It seems like you're there's sort of a balance here between sort of making fun of the stereotype. There's also a serious message, and there is a sort of social commentary here about critiquing the men. I mean, is that all wrapped up in this character?
I think I think everyone gets poked at, not only in this monologue but throughout the show, and we laugh, we listen, we learn, and this not only does it poke fun at certain men and their irresponsibility when it comes to being a father, but also irresponsibility of to a certain extent. My character seems to, the things that stand out about Alejandro, the father of the baby, is his gold chain, mm-hmm. is his hair. It's all this sort of the physical things and not necessarily about the character of the person. So we poke fun at that. We also poke fun at the way society sort of just looks down on it, the newspaper, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, Rick Najera, I want to talk about your character, the sort of over-caffeinated, over-aggressive Texas border guard named Buford Gonzalez, which is a wonderful character. And we're going to add Buford. Got it. This is On Point. We're talking about the new play on Broadway, Latino Logs, and about the Latino experience in America. You can join the conversation. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. This is On Point. I'm Anthony Brooks, in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about the new play on Broadway, Latino Logs, about the Latino experience in America. You can join the conversation. Where do you draw the line between poking fun at the Latino experience in America and reinforcing long-held stereotypes? Latinos, could you use a good laugh about your experience in America? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And we're talking this hour with Rick Najera, writer and producer of Latino Logs. He's also one of the four actors in the current production on Broadway. We're also talking with Shirley Rumerick. Her role in Latino Logs marks her Broadway debut. She is also host of the New York infotainment show Cool in Your Code. And Rick, let's talk about one of your characters, which I just made reference to and mispronounced before the break, Buford Gomez. Tell me about
Buford
him. Well, maybe we should listen to a clip. He's a Latino Texas border guard. Let's listen to a clip from the show.
Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Buford Gomez. I put the panic to the Hispanic. I put the pepper spray to Jose. I put the baton to Juan. Deportation, my business, and business is good. I might see a strange looking car coming at me, has an I Heart Puerto Vallarta sticker on the car. I'll say, hey, you there. You with the Family 8 playing El Tigre del Norte. Pull it over. You there at the mother that looks like La India Maria. Pull it over. I smell chimichangas and chicharrones. The whole car, pull it over. And I'll knock on the trunk of the car. Now, no Mexican can ever resist this. You knock on the trunk, you say, que viva Mexico!
Viva, viva, viva!
Works every time. Hey, look, there's Talia. Donde, donde, donde?
All right, that was Buford Gomez from the show Latino Logs, played by Rick Najera, who's on the line. Rick, tell us about this character.
Well, Buford's, he believes the right way and the wrong way to immigrate and strap to a radiator is definitely the wrong way, folks. Come on now. his thing is about the law. It's illegal. You know, I'm legal. I'm a legal Mexican. Hits an illegal Mexican, and we got the law going on here. And we got to remember there's a right way and wrong way. And he's very much, he's kind of the conservative side of what Latinos are in America. Because you got to understand, every Latino goes through this. You got guys in Miami, they're Cubans that are on the Coast Guard that are stopping Cubans from coming into Florida. And they have to. That's their job. You know, that's the whole thing about, you know, being Latino in this country is we live in ironies the whole time. Hmm. It's ironic that you're a Border Patrol agent stopping Mexicans from crossing over. But it's also an irony, but it's also the law. And it's their job. Hmm. And these guys are have these different conflicts with it. And, you know, it's unique. But one of the toughest Border Patrols in the world is actually the Mexican Border Patrol. They stop more, you know, deport more people in Mexico than the United States does, because they stop people from Guatemala, Honduras, everyone coming up from Central America constantly. The immigration policy is tougher in Mexico. You have to be 5 years without getting a job in Mexico,
right,
if you want to become a citizen. I was, you know, it's tough. So we deal with ironies constantly.
You know, Rick, I was struck by something the director, Cheech Marin, said of this character. I was reading about the show, and he wrote that the character of Buford Gomez, quote, embodies all the conflicting emotions in Latinos as they attempt to assimilate. He's viewed by Anglos as inferior, and he knows it. At the same time, he thinks of himself as superior to the new arrivals and perhaps to everyone else.
Yeah, he goes through that conflict. I mean, he knows a lot of times he deals in a very Anglo-dominated world, and the big equalizer in for minorities in this country is when you're in the United States military, armed forces, police, whatever, you're no longer a minority, you're a uniform.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why you look at, you know, Colin Powell, you know, people like that. You go, he's no longer a black man. He's a uniform. And Buford Gomez is a uniform. So ironically, that a uniform makes you above, you know, you become the law and you become what it represents, and you no longer become a minority. Well, a lot of these characters deal with the fact that you're Mexican-American, or you're, you know, Colombian-American, or you're Mexican-American, or you're all these different, you know, slash Americans. But you're not just an American. And ironically, like with Buford, he comes from a military family like I do. And, my own uncle was killed in World War II in a Japanese concentration camp after the March of Bataan. My father went to Vietnam. My brother went to Vietnam. Yet I get stopped at the border constantly asking my citizenship. And, you know, and he deals with the same conflict. Out of uniform, he's as hassled as anyone else. In uniform, he's the law.
Hmm. Interesting.
So ironies.
Ironies. Let's listen to another bit of tape. Shirley, this is another one of your characters, the Miss Puerto Rican Day Parade.
Ah, yes.
Okay. And there's a visual moment in this which might not come through
in the
audio. And so I'm going to leave it to you. Will you just give away what you need to give away to make this audio clip make sense?
Sure, sure. At a certain point there, as the Miss Puerto Rican Day Parade queen, I pull out a gun from my bouquet.
I took this from a book that transference of power was very hard in the Latin American community.
Oh, I see.
And so I sat there and said, well, transference of power, that's an interesting concept.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's a pageant where I'm supposed to pass on my crown to the next contestant. And
ironically,
I refuse.
For women, it's like, why are you no longer beautiful after 1 year? Why are you your beauty and youth are used up after 1 year?
Mm-hmm.
You're made a queen.
And why should
so
I
all those kind of,
and why should I give up something that I've worked so hard for?
Exactly.
So this is that clip.
Okay, here we go.
And now I must give up my crown to one of these contestants. I must turn over my power after only one short year. Nigga, please! Did y'all think I'd give up my crown this easy? Ha, ha, ha! Give up my scholarship to ITT Tech, where I would learn an exciting career as a nurse's assistant or nuclear scientist in 6 weeks or less?
That's actor Shirley Romerick playing Miss Puerto Rican Day Parade in the play now on Broadway, Latino Logs.
Yes.
Say more about her. She's also,
she's
something.
She's something else. I love doing that piece. Like, you don't understand. It's just one of the great things about that particular piece is for me, and I've had so many women come up to me and particularly point out the Miss Puerto Rican Day Parade monologue, is that it feels like if only Miss America could actually say what she was really thinking up there on that stage. And it's a total a coup d'etat that happens on that stage with the Miss Puerto Rican Day Parade. It's such a wonderful woman taking over feminist speech that I love.
She at one point says the military is in control.
Yeah, I do say the military is in control now.
You will learn to vote correctly in a one-party system, a system I control.
That's right. That's right. So it's very much I take control over it. And not only that, but also one of the judges then becomes one of my lackeys, so to speak. And the beautiful thing about this monologue is that I get to really, really take over all of those aesthetic pressures that Latinas, that women always feel, sort of have to look good, have to look great. I take over that. I'm running the show now. I've got a gun in my hand and a bouquet in the other and a cute tiara, and it's my show.
That's great.
And my backup are all my princesses from the pageant, mm-hmm. and we're taking over. And with the CIA, that I say I have support from the CIA, and I say the Chismosa Intelligence Agency, Chismosa meaning the gossip intelligence agency.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
At one point, she puts down the CIA. She says, I could get more CIA, you know, Central Intelligence Agency, you know, is not really intelligent, number one. I'd get more guesses right by Walter Mercado with the Ouija board than the CIA could. She really kind of puts it all in perspective, all while being, you know, beautiful and glamorous at the same time.
1-800-423-8255. The number is 800-423-TALK to join the discussion this hour with Shirley Rumerick and Rick Nahara. This is the writer and two actors from the play now on Broadway, Latino Logs, which makes fun of the Latino experience in the United States. I want to ask you who's coming to see this on Broadway and how that audience has changed over the years for you.
Yeah, we get. I mean, it's kind of interesting. I had ex-president of Mexico, Cedillo, come backstage. He saw the show. He says, I want you to tell you, Rick, first of all, not every Mexican is a dishwasher and busboy.
and we should talk about that character, but go ahead.
He came up to me, and I really kind of thought about it, and I said, yeah, but really a lot of the guys I care about are the dishwashers and the busboys, people without the voice, really, and some of the uniformed people in the world that don't have a name. And a lot of times these characters stress to be wanted understood. I want to be understood. The macho busboy says, you know, he calls himself a macho, but in the end you realize he's saying machismo is his protection. He says, as long as I'm a macho, I'll never be just a busboy. And that's the kind of, characters I'm trying to give voice to in America. And sometimes, you know, people, the fence is they'll say, well, I want to see this character. I want to see that. I want to see this. But there's 40-odd million Latinos in the United States, and there's about 11 on monologues on stage. Mm-hmm. And it changes. Even in fact, this month we're going to add in a new monologue and mm-hmm. take a monologue out. And probably the same in Florida, a different monologue would come in as we tour. Mm-hmm. And things are changing.
And besides the ex-president of Mexico, one of the things that we're, as a cast, all proud of is that we have a huge group of people, Latinos, who've never been to Broadway.
Never been to theater.
Never been to the theater.
People say that this is the first play I've ever seen.
And is that important to both of you? I mean, did that have a lot to do with why you wanted to bring this play to Broadway?
Yes, absolutely.
When we first came to town, people were saying, well, you mean off-Broadway, don't you? And I said, mm-hmm. no, we're going to New York. They go, no, you mean mm-hmm. off-Broadway.
Mm-hmm. So what's playing across the street from you?
Well, across
History
the street.
History Boys?
Yeah. No, mm-hmm. I haven't seen. They haven't come in yet.
They haven't come in yet.
Spamalot is across the street.
Okay. The producers are our neighbors.
Our neighbors. down the street is Phantom.
Phantom.
Mm-hmm. Phantom. There's more Latinos on this stage without a broom in their hand than any play in the history of Broadway. Mm-hmm. And that's what people were surprised by. They said, why Broadway? Shouldn't you be in Brooklyn? Shouldn't you be in Queens? Mm-hmm. And it's that whole thing of going, no, this show goes where we're supposed to go.
Right.
I mean, it's that whole kind of, moving us out of the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're the bodega on Broadway. People are very surprised we're there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times there's been, you know, a certain amount of conflict to us being there. They're
really?
A little surprised. Yeah. I get people.
Like what kind of conflict?
You know, mostly from the people that work on Broadway. Sometimes the crew, not necessarily our crew, but we have people say stuff like, well, this isn't a Broadway show. This is not how we do it in Broadway.
And it's not a Broadway show because it doesn't cater to sort of suburban, white, Anglo viewer, theatergoers.
Yeah, and it's not based on a movie. I mean, that's the other irony. Because half the stuff
or
on Broadway.
Or Revival.
Yeah, or Revival, or based on a story done 20 years ago and based on, you know. And it's really not, it's not star-driven, although we have stars in the show. I mean, Henry DeBez is probably the greatest star of Latin America. Mm-hmm. Renee Lavon is a star in his own right, and I believe Shirley is. I mean, that's why she's cast. So it's not, you know, name-driven. It's not like you can see so-and-so in this show. But the show's the star, and also the talent of the people is the star. But it's really the story of Latinos. And you know who's been embracing it, surprisingly? A lot of Anglos are now coming.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Which is, yeah, so it's really, we've gone from, well, our first audience, they call Broadway the Great White Way, and we said we just wanted to make it a little browner. And our audience was more Latino, and now we're getting, we call them the hip, cool Anglos coming in.
Yeah.
And we get the African Americans coming in.
We have an Israeli following.
I was in a club, and an Israeli guy came up and said, "You funny man, are you funniest guy I seen on Broadway? I love your show. You funny guy, Buford Gomez. You make me laugh.
And if you had to change the shows, in substantive ways, realizing that you're trying to attract a different audience than, say, theaters from, San Diego or El Paso or Miami that were coming to this over the last few years. I mean, has the content actually changed?
Oh, yeah.
There's been, for example, Miss Puerto Rican Day Parade in the East Coast was Miss East L.A. In the West Coast was Miss East L.A.
Oh, I see.
And so
Florida, she's Miss Hialeah Park. In Chicago,
right.
She's Miss,
we make the what's wonderful about the show is that we adapt regionally in terms of also the Latino groups there. Since we're now in New York, there'll be more Puerto Rican references. There'll be more references to neighborhoods where there are certain populations, Dominicans in Washington Heights, Colombians in Jackson Heights. So the show sort of adapts itself to where it will be performing.
I want to encourage our callers to call 1-800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK, and join the conversation about Latino Logs, one of the newest shows on Broadway right now. And let's take a call. Jeff is calling from Boston. Hello, Jeff. What's on your mind?
Hello. Hello, how are you?
Very well, thanks. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Jeff.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a question in regards of the character that Shirley plays, the virgin girl that gets impregnated by an angel. I haven't seen the show, and I want to know what the philosophy behind this character is. It seems to me that it might be a mockery against Christianity, and being a Latino and being a Christian, being a pastor, I was wondering if I could get an explanation on what this character is all about and how does it portray to the Latino life.
Well, first of all, it's not a mockery of the virgin. I mean, we're very Catholic. I mean, I grew up Catholic, and it's not saying it's about the virgin at all. It's what it's using is a woman who says, in her mind, she says one of the biggest things in life. She says, "Don't look at me like I'm a single unwed mother. Look at me like I'm a virgin. Look at me like I'm a miracle. I'm having a baby." She's talking about the miracle of birth, and she's actually sanctifying birth, and she's saying that this child within me is a miracle.
Yes.
This situation is a miracle that I am pregnant. Don't look at me as someone that has life that's going to take from life, but is actually going to bring something to her environment, her community, and to people through this birth.
Right. She also doesn't want to be pitied.
She doesn't want to be pitied. Mm. And it really says a lot about that. It's not really about, against the Virgin Mary or even the concept, whether you believe that or not. It's really about someone who is using, in her own mind, of looking at her birth and her baby, saying, "I've got a miracle here." Which is just as important, and I'm sure God would believe that, as the own birth of his son. Mm-hmm. It's birth and life is a miracle, and that's what she's saying is precious about her.
What do you think of that, Jeff? Are you still with us?
I am. I'm still over here. I appreciate the comment in there. I was just trying to protect my own worldview. This was not going against the current trend of Christianity. I appreciate the answer that he gave me, and I'm happy with that.
Thanks, Jeff. Well, thanks for the phone call.
Thanks,
appreciate
Jeff.
It. Jeff's call, though, really does. I mean, I know we've touched on this, but it really does raise the sort of delicate balance that you guys are doing on stage.
I'm on a tightrope every day with the show.
I mean, let me just throw this idea out, because I appreciate everything you said about Shirley's character, but also the audience is sort of, and tell me if I'm wrong, the audience is also laughing at, get real, girl. You're not a virgin. I mean, this is a joke.
I mean, that's the big fight between the two is, the only reason I can do this whole show and write it is I say everything I've written is the truth. Mm-hmm. Everything I've written is the truth. It's based on a character. It's based on a person. It's based on a situation. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing false in this whole thing. Now, I tell the audience how to believe. I mean, I got in trouble recently because they felt I was anti-Castro, a couple monologues. How dare you, speak out against Castro? Well, I said the truth. I said the man's been in power for I don't know how many odd years. These are everything I've said is the truth. So a lot of times I'm not going to always please everybody, but it's the truth.
Rick Nahara and Shirley Romerick, stand by. We're going to take a short break. We're talking about the new Broadway show, Latino Logs, about the Latino experience in America, and you can join the conversation. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Anthony Brooks, sitting in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Support for On Point comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, Bicon Dental Implants, offering short implants that can eliminate the need for bone grafting. Information is available at Bicon.com, B-I-C-O-N.com, and Private Wealth Management at Babson Capital, for more than 60 years helping clients build and preserve wealth through financial planning, investment management, and trust services, in Cambridge and on the web at BabsonCapital.com.
This is On Point. I'm Anthony Brooks, sitting in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about the Broadway show Latino Logs, about the Latino experience in America. You can join the conversation. Where do you draw the line between poking fun at the Latino experience in America, trying to understand it, and reinforcing long-held stereotypes? Does Latino Logs cross that line? Beyond Broadway, how can we continue the important dialogue about the Latino experience in America? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And we're talking this hour with actor Shirley Romerick. Her role in Latino Logs marks her Broadway debut. We're also talking with Rick Nahara, writer and producer of Latino Logs. He's also one of the four actors in the current production on Broadway. And let's listen for about a minute to Rick Nahara as the manic Hispanic.
I'm 100% Latino, okay? A lot of people don't get me because I'm not your typical Latino, all right? Yeah, because I speak muy malo español. I do. Mi culpa, mi culpa, mi culpa. Like, I was on this airplane once, and the stewardess, she walks up to me. She's like, Mr. Martinez, are you Latino? And I said, yes, but I'm not leaving first class. She goes, no, there's this Mexican man having medical difficulties. We need you to translate using your best Spanish possible. So I'm like, oh, my God, I'm George Clooney. It's ER. Here I go. So I run to the back of the plane, and there's this man there. He's like, ah, yo soy diabético. Ayúdame. Yo soy diabético. I don't know what the he's talking about. So I give him some Godiva chocolate from first class. I start popping his mouth the Godiva. Godiva makes you feel good, okay? So I'm popping the Godiva in his mouth. He's like, déjame en paz, maricón. Déjame en paz, maricón. And I'm like, who the hell is Marty Cohen? My name is Martinez. He's like, déjame en paz, maricón. Déjame en paz, maricón. My name is not Marty Cohen. It is Martinez. And the stewardess is like freaking out. She's like, please, Mr. Martinez, translate using your best Spanish possible. So using my best Spanish possible, I say, you are going to die. Muerta. No más aquí. Siga la luz blanco.
I love that bit, Rick. And I just want to say, because there is some Spanish in here, malecón, a Spanish derogatory term for homosexual,
yes,
correct?
Yes.
Okay, it's just important to picked that up, but tell me about this character.
Well, you know, the manic
tell me about Marty Cohen.
Marty Cohen, yes. The manic Hispanic is actually very, he's at ease with his sexuality and who he is, but he's at ill at ease with not speaking Spanish. And not fulfilling the stereotype that all Latinos speak perfect Spanish. Mm-hmm. All Latinos are comfortable on both sides of the fence. All Latinos are, you know, he's dealing with all the cultural conflicts that he deals with. And his character, actually, the one thing is a lot of people said, you know, you have to put a gay character, Latinos, that, you know, he's gay. And I said, well, actually, he doesn't really see himself as anything. I mean, he just sees himself outside the culture, outside the box. And there's a lot of Latinos who feel that way, too, who... We're now seeing the Latino world that in his own self calls himself a born-again Latino. Mm. He's an executive. He's very white-collar. And all of a sudden, he's been now, because, you know, Paramount Studios knows about Latinos. So they found him and they made him an executive. And he's like, he didn't know. And he's very surprised at that. So it's the least thing on his mind. And all of a sudden he's deciding Latino films. He's involved with them. He says, you know, we're doing this one film. It's called Titanico, 20 Cubans on a Raft with a Slow Leak. You'll do it and you'll say we're saving Private Martinez and we're doing Mexican Moses and we're doing all these films that are Latino-based.
Yeah.
So his whole thing is actually, it's not about, you know, his sexuality. It's really about that he's now the new arbiter of Latino culture. Mm. And in some ways, he's being used and mm-hmm. he doesn't realize it. And he's at some, but at one point he says something, you know, very profound. He says, you know, sometimes people don't get me. You know, we don't fit in you know, people don't understand me. Mm. And that's a lot of things what he's dealing with.
So he doesn't fit the stereotype. I mean, you know, there's some criticism that you're presenting stereotypes here, but here's a guy who's struggling with the fact that he doesn't fit the stereotype.
No, he's not macho. He's closeted in some ways. Yeah. He feels, you know, he says at one point, he goes, you know, I feel I'm with, you know, he talks to the person he's talking to. He goes, I feel I'm with my family, but no one's talking to me in Spanish, and I understand you. This is really great. And he's outside. He's outside the Latino world. And that's a lot of Latinos are, and that's the one thing is that people think sometimes you're Latino. Oh, everyone understands you in your Latin culture, and that's not true.
Right. Rick and Shirley, stand by. I want to get some callers into this conversation because we've got a lot waiting to jump in. So let's go to Malaika, who's calling from Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts. Malaika, hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. Mm-hmm. What's on your mind?
Thank you very much for having me on. My question is about how the show deals with the diversity and the range of multiracial and multicultural people in Latino culture.
Go ahead. Finish that thought, Malaika.
Specifically, I mean that I know when I was in Mexico, I found that although the Mexican people that I've seen in soap operas and sort of in popular culture are always that creamy color, that there were actually people that looked like, you know, very much indigenous people, and there were a lot of people that were African descent in the South. And
sure,
the same is true with the island cultures, which is what I know personally.
Great question, Malaika.
I'd like to take that question.
Please.
Throughout the monologues, we address that. That's an issue that is dear to me, and I have very curly hair, and
Shirley's Colombian and Puerto Rican,
and I have very curly hair, and even going to Puerto Rico sometimes or where have you, it's always like, oh, so where does that come from? Does that mean you have, you know, black in your
abuela?
Yeah, ¿dónde está tu abuela? Where's your grandmother? Does that mean you have black in your family? And somehow that the tone of that, it's something negative. One of the things that Yolanda says, she says when the pregnant teen, when she sees Alejandro, she says, he took my hand like in the novelas, except I wasn't blonde and speak in Spanish, referencing to the fact that all these soap operas are all very fair, very, very blonde, and we also spoof that. At one point, I come out with a blonde wig, dressed up as a soap opera actress, and we make fun of the spectacular acting done in soap operas. And later on, as Miss Puerto Rican Day Parade, when I point my gun to my competitors, I point my gun at them and I say, yeah, I know you be blowing out your hair. Show your roots, Sucia. Show your roots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of times we're trying to tell people, you know, show your roots. I mean, I get hassled. Like one time I was on Despierta America, and they said, well, you know, your Spanish isn't very good. And I said, well, actually, you know, 10% of all Mexico doesn't speak Spanish. They only speak indigenous languages.
Yes.
And I go, so count me as a part of the 10%. And it shocked them, but it was the truth. Is that, you know, 10% of Mexico does not speak Spanish. You know, it's indigenous, and that's true of certain parts of the countries. And what we do is we're taking characters and we show them as many multi hues within the culture as exists in the Puerto Rican culture. In Caribbean, it's more African American Caribbean. Mexican, it's indigenous. It's Indian. So I think we highlight those things and we show our own prejudices within our own culture.
Yes, and we make sure we have a Dominican character, a Cuban character, and a Puerto Rican character, and each of those characters make reference to their African roots and the African culture can be put aside.
1-800-423-8255 is the number to call. Pete is calling from Columbia, South Carolina. Hi, Pete.
Hi.
Colombia.
Yeah. It's in Colombia. I love the concept of your show. It sounds great. My question, I think, was to question was just answered by the earlier call. I was wondering about the title Latino as opposed to Hispanic, but as you mentioned, a Latino is it's a terminology used in America, I think. I don't think it's used that much. We use it more racially, I think, than culturally. I think.
Oh, yeah, believe me. You know what's funny is we put all those things on ourselves, you know, Latino, you know, Hispanic. Yeah.
Chicano.
What are we called correctly and all these things. Mm. In the end, you know, we address them, and I address them as best I can, but at the same time I go, it has to be a comedy. We got guys that are blue-collar guys that come see the show. That to them, when they spend the money, that's a huge amount of investment to see a show. And for an hour and a half, they have to truly laugh, and they also have to be moved, and it has to be profound, and it has to be intellectual, and it has to be truthful. There's so much put on this play. It's you almost feel like you're the Latino kid that made it out of the barrio, and now he's on Broadway, and you got to be really good. You know? So, wow. And there's all that pressure put on top of you saying, by the way, be politically correct, be intelligent, be, you know, all these thousand things, and oh, sell tickets.
Interesting.
By the way, sell tickets.
Hey, well, speaking of culture shock, Shirley, I wanted to just get a question to you about your background.
Sure.
You grew up
sure.
in New York, New York's mm-hmm. Hell's Kitchen, which isn't
Hell's
far.
Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, and far from Broadway. You're Harvard educated.
Yes.
So, you know, you've, I think, experienced firsthand the sort of clash of cultures, I'm guessing. And I'm just wondering to what extent you bring that to this show. I mean, how much that informs your performance, your background?
Oh, it totally. One of the things that the nice thing about going off to college is you end up realizing how much you miss your home. it's a lot of these characters I identify with. I've always sort of felt that that feeling of being outside as a Latina. As an educated Latina, sort of always being the only Latina in an advanced class in junior high, or the only Latina or one of two Latinas in a class in a private high school that I went to in the city that I had a scholarship for. So it's always being seen by many different people in different ways by some of my peers that I grew up with. I'm seen as she's trying to be white. She's trying.
She sold out
because I'm going to a private school or I go to Harvard
she
or what
she's
have
all
you.
That. That's just me talking.
Right, that's just Rick talking. Or sometimes, you know, I'm too ethnic, I'm too this, I'm too that, and seen by those who are not Latino. So it's always having to juggle that constantly on a daily basis, you know, and these characters do that. And if it's not my particular monologues that are juggling those things on the fence, it's the other monologues that comprise that energy that's part of the show.
Well, speaking of I'm sorry, I want to get, Rick, before we run out of time, because there's sort of, there's some great tape to play that I want to give more flavor of this show. This is about the busboy. Let's just listen to this and then have you talk about this. Speaking of juggling different characters and different identities.
You remind me of this blonde woman I used to date. She was beautiful, like you. Okay, I guess dating was stretching it just a bit. But it was a very intense couple of hours. Oh, I remember meeting her. This fine restaurant, fine wine, fine music. I was looking fine in my tuxedo. Had my name tag on. Alejandro. She was my customer, and I was her busboy. Oh, we really hit it off. I had been giving her good service for most of the night. The bread was soft, but I was hard. Working hard. And now she wanted me. She wanted me. Why me, I wonder? Was she a food service industry groupie? Or perhaps she heard about my legendary rise from dishwasher to busboy in only 6 short years.
That's actor Rene Lavan playing the macho busboy Alejandro in Latin Logs on Broadway. Tell me about this Alejandro, and also about the actor Rene Lavan.
Rene Lavan, he's a great actor and a good friend for all of us. He's a Cuban. He was came over in the Marlito boat lift. And actually, he left Cuba when he was 11, and he said he never saw electricity till he was 12.
Wow.
And that's really true when he got in this country. And he truly loves the United States and the opportunities he's been given. And the character he plays is the macho. He's a good-looking busboy that happens to be a busboy. And he goes through his own angst that in the end, he gets dumped by this woman that he encounters. And she says, you know, I hope this does not lead to any further feelings of abandonment. And he says, I didn't even know what that means. you know, and he has to kind of hide behind that false macho shield. And he says, sometimes a macho wounds and sometimes he's wounded. Hmm. And he has a lot of very philosophical, beautiful things to say.
So macho, but very vulnerable.
Very vulnerable. And at the same time, you look and you go, what I'm trying to say is if he's a good-looking Latino guy. And if he was, his occupation is busboy. And that's the only thing that stops him from the situation. And he's a guy that hides behind that, but you really kind of see underneath the character. And one thing about the show is this is the first Latino written, produced, and directed show in the history of Broadway.
Wow.
In the history of Broadway.
And Latino performed.
And Latino performed, yes. All Latino performed. So we go to Broadway, and we're on Broadway, we're succeeding on Broadway with that on our shoulders. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times we're making people laugh. That's the great thing. And we're entertaining people. But there's a bigger social message underneath that. And I look at actresses like Shirley, who's a Harvard-educated actress who came from Hell's Kitchen, and now she's on Broadway. That's a story in itself. It's practically a movie. Yeah. I think I may write it. But it's amazing.
And, Rick, let's take another call because we've got a lot of people standing by, and we don't have much time left to hear from them. Miran is calling from Lowell, Massachusetts.
Hola, guys. It's actually Miran.
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 Miran, mucho gusto.
Mucho gusto. I'm a 38-year-old Cuban, and I really want to applaud your efforts. I want to applaud what you're doing because, personally, I grew up always, you know, watching Saturday Night Live, hearing other comedians, and there was never anyone that really spoke to me as a Latin. Mm-hmm. And I just think what you're doing is great.
Thank you.
Just want to emphasize that and applaud it because these folks who talk about stereotypes and emphasizing labels and all this kind of stuff, those are the same folks that aren't going to laugh at anything.
Right.
Good point. Have a sense of humor.
Thank you.
Miran, do you still feel that way? You said when you were growing up, there wasn't a lot of public entertainment out there and that spoke to you. Do you still feel that way?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think there'll certainly be it's no secret that demographically, things are shifting with larger Hispanic populations, so it's coming, it'll be there sooner or later. I think it's kind of on a precipice right now.
Yeah.
Interesting. Miran, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Miran.
Ahead, Shirley.
No, I was just going to say, you know, that someone pointed something out that's kind of interesting. We had an interview once, and after the interview, we were talking, and there's something out there called enlightened bigotry. And I noticed that in terms of, yes, you may see more Latinos, Eva Longoria, John Leguizamo on ER, but really look what's going on. I'm not particular to their characters, but in so many instances I've known of other actors who have gone in for TV shows, Latino actors, and the director or the writer may have said, oh, do it with an accent. It's funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's funnier if you do it with an accent.
Mind you,
these are Latinos who were born and raised here without an accent.
We've had Latinos darken their face to be in shows.
Wow. Yeah.
Really, it's true.
Well, listen, I want to thank you both so much
thank
for
you.
Coming in. You've
thank
made
you.
Me really want to see this. I loved what I saw on the DVD.
Yeah, okay.
And thanks for coming in and talking about it. It raises a lot of great issues.
Come to the Helen Hayes Theater and get your tickets
I'll
on
Telecharge.
We've
been talking to Rick Najera, the writer and producer of Latino Logs, which is at the Helen Hayes Theater through December 31st. We've also been talking to Shirley Rumerick, who's one of the actors. I'm Anthony Brooks, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR, National Public Radio.